Less than a mile from Florida A&M University's Bragg Stadium and adjacent to the Bond Westside neighborhood, there's a tiny neighborhood enclave where shotgun houses are shaded by a dense canopy. But they're now facing backhoes and bulldozers. Two projects, one to extend FAMU Way and construct a trailhead, and another to extend the Capitol Cascades Trail and create a stormwater pond, will be the end of a historic neighborhood enclave. The new stretch of FAMU Way will replace everything that sat between Miles Street and Still Court.
Well, this has been a long phased and planned and developed corridor.
That's city engineer Steve Schaefer. This portion of the roughly $70 million joint project, Schaefer explains, is the third phase of improvements to FAMU Way and the Capitol Cascades Trail. The extension of the Capitol Cascades Trail and construction of a stormwater pond are projects under Blueprint Intergovernmental Agency, while the extension of FAMU Way is a City of Tallahassee project. FAMU Way will be aligned with Gamble Street all the way to Lake Bradford Road. While giving WFSU a driving tour of the site of the future FAMU Way extension, Schaefer talked about the project's intended benefit.
You'll see bike lanes back here, you'll see multi-use trails, wide sidewalks. The goal was to make sure that this was a benefit, not just for those folks that need to get in the car to go places, but to provide some opportunities for those who would like to have options.
But some say the project wipes out history and the natural tree canopy that has shaded the area for presumably more than 100 years. Jonathan Lammers, a historian and former San Francisco city planner, says alternate plans could have spared the historic enclave.
This all could have been done with, could have been avoided to a large extent with better planning, more sensitive planning. It's just, it makes me very angry that my city that I chose to live in is doing this.
The original plan for the project's third phase didn't touch the small enclave, but through failed negotiations to get a railroad crossing for vehicles, the plan shifted. So the city bought up 21 parcels of land for the project, 10 of which had houses. Lammers is concerned about what's lost when development occurs.
There's a beautiful tree canopy in here. We have mature pecans, many mature live oaks, and a lot of little historic shotgun houses that are associated with a turpentine distillery that used to be back here. That's why this is called Still Court.
The Boynton Still neighborhood, as some call it, has a rich history. Many original residents of the neighborhood in the early 20th century worked for the W.J. Boynton & Son Turpentine Distillery. In 1945, most of the plant was destroyed in a fire. Then, in the late 60s, it became the site of Shingles Chicken House, operated by African-American entrepreneur Henry Shingles. It became a favorite for locals and legislators before closing in 2007. The small shotgun-style houses are all that connects the area's history to its present. But last week, the demolition started.
Every acquisition that we have gone through to date on this has been voluntary.
According to Schaefer and other city officials, a plan was drawn up specifically for the project in order to compensate people for their homes.
The commission actually adopted a right-of-way acquisition policy that not only provided for incentive offers, if you will, for property, but also approved relocation expenses and a lot of other things that allowed us to deal with the any of the impacted residents out here.
But two homes in the neighborhood didn't have a clear-cut path to acquisition for the city.
We really didn't have anybody that didn't agree to the terms. However, we had a couple of homes that, because the property owners actually were deceased, the difficulty became in the estate and the title work and trying to figure out who had legal rights to the property. So it's a lot of time spent trying to identify who the appropriate persons were to talk to.
The city did file an eminent domain suit that appears to be ongoing. In an email, a city representative says due to the project's construction schedule and uncertainty over whether a timely settlement could be reached, quote, the lawsuit was filed in an abundance of caution. The city says it's currently working with known heirs and beneficiaries of the two parcels to identify all potential heirs to reach a final settlement. But then there's the trees. Lammers says it will be generations until the canopy will be restored.
And unfortunately, the damage to the neighborhood residents is already done, and at this point, I'm just trying to fight for these trees. which any citizen of Tallahassee, if they were here and looked at them, would be aghast that the city is knocking these down.
The stormwater pond construction will remove 56 trees, including 11 live oaks and a number of pecan trees. Blueprint plans to plant 339 trees in their place, seven of which will be live oaks. City engineer Steve Schaefer says the city will plant an additional 148 trees. But to Lammers, it's not a substitute for keeping the existing canopy.
Everything between here and the railroad tracks becomes stormwater pond. Except for an area over there, they're going to have a little trailhead with planted trees. And that's, again, the absurdity when you have this mature canopy that took over 100 years to develop.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to the June 19th City Commission meeting.
At the most recent City Commission meeting, Lammers and a group of like-minded conservationists filled out speaker cards to make their case to commissioners. Matthew Latch was among that group.
We thought it proper to come before the City Commission and request that you pause the demolitions and land clearing that are currently occurring in this neighborhood, which, if you know, did any of you guys ever go to Shingles Chicken? It's that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were 23 structures back there. There are five left.
To Maisha Mitchell, who spoke at the meeting, it's personal.
I was born in Smoky Hollow. I lived there all my life, well, until I was 12. And then we were pushed out, displaced, gentrification.
The historic African-American neighborhood, Smoky Hollow, stood on the site that is now Cascades Park. There is little left to commemorate its history in the area, save for the Smoky Hollow Barbershop, which is still standing. Mitchell says highway projects and other development began to drive residents out, who moved elsewhere throughout the country. She sees shades of the same thing happening with the FAMU Way project.
This is a systemic thing I see happening here. It's just not the need to have beautification, you know, aesthetic properties and things of that sort.
After commissioners heard from Latch, Mitchell, and about six others, Assistant City Manager Wayne Tedder responded to their concerns. Tedder says exhaustive community outreach was done in the early stages of the project.
There's one thing I would absolutely agree with the speakers who have mentioned this about you not being a part of the decision. That is correct. But I can tell you over time who has been expressly a part of the process, and the reason this project has been developed is the citizens in and around this area. They are the ones who designed this project. We had to work within their criteria and make the technical aspects fit with what they wanted as a community.
Commissioner Diane Williams-Cox defended the city's process and says she feels it's best to move forward as planned.
I take exception to the fact that just because we're new, we don't know what went into this. Yes, I didn't just drop in from Mars. I've lived in the South Side for 30 years.
With respect to the houses being demolished, Williams-Cox says there wasn't much to salvage.
And some of you said they don't have indoor plumbing. Which one of us would want to go and live in that condition? With no indoor plumbing, no air conditioning, as hot as it is.
Lauren Hubbard grew up in the neighborhood, living on Miles Street. She was living in one of the shotgun houses before demolition started.
I loved my street. I mean, you could smell shingles down the street, that fish and that chicken. I mean, the street, when you walk down the street, you got humble. That's the word. You got humble.
Hubbard says her mother, who owned two houses on the street, was paid more by the city. But Hubbard, who didn't own or rent the house she was staying in, says she only saw $1,000 in compensation.
When you own something, that's a bigger check for you. When you're just a resident, yeah, they're going to come through and literally kick me out.
Now, Hubbard says she's been forced to rent a room, and that $1,000 was what it took for a down payment on the new apartment. The whole situation, Hubbard says, has left her with a bad feeling.
Raped and robbed. Yeah.
Steve Beasley grew up just blocks from the tiny neighborhood. As a citizen who always kept a pulse on the area, Beasley gave input to the city where he could about the project.
Some of the persons I saw on the television that there's some negativism. I think those people should have expressed it back during the planning stages, and I think it would have been addressed more so. But From what I see, I think the city did a very good job of community input.
But Lammers remains concerned the project is casting history aside to eventually create a more aesthetic gateway into town from the Tallahassee airport.
Now, I don't think this is all part of some grand evil scheme. It's the fact that they want to have as nice a looking gateway from the airport and into the area along FAMU Way as possible. And that's a laudable goal, but what they're doing right here is a crime. I mean, it's not called a crime when a city does eminent domain, but the fact remains that through threat of eminent domain, they've wiped out a predominantly African-American residential enclave, and they're wiping out a grove of historic trees.
City engineer Steve Schaefer acknowledges the FAMU Way project is a tie-in to the eventual airport gateway, but at the same time, Schaefer says Lammers' claim that the city has been insensitive in its planning is untrue.
I feel very comfortable that a lack of sensitivity, it's the furthest thing from that. I mean, everything was focused on making sure that we did this the right way in respect to the neighborhoods we're going through.
Schaefer says the city has a vision to extend the project all the way to Monroe Street eventually. Blueprint 2000 has a meeting on June 27th. City Commissioner Jeremy Matlow encouraged those with concerns about the project to ask Blueprint staff to hold a town hall meeting at night for further discussions. For WFSU News, I'm Ryan Daly.